Heavenly Father, we worship you. So go into your word this afternoon. Lord, we bow before you. We recognize it is the living word of a living God. And we are inadequate, Lord, to preach and to unravel, Lord, the treasures that are hidden in this word. So, Father, I come confessing my sins, cleaning with the blood. In Jesus' name I have life. I come under covering of my fathers. And of the Lord Jesus, I ask for mercy. Fresh mercy and unction from your throne upon my heart and upon my lips, that I will not speak my own words, but you will make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, so that, Lord, your word will come forth with power, clarity, purity, in the simplicity and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, to encourage and strengthen, to edify and reassure, Lord, to cause, Lord, an internal, eternal work to be wrought in our hearts. Our wills must submit it to yours. Our minds further illuminated with the revelation light that comes only from the Holy Spirit. And our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, under covering, I pray that as your word goes forth, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let every veil of distortion be removed. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, so that we'll press on the upward way to lay hold upon the glory you have set before us in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. Not speaking my own words, Lord God, but Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old. I lay aside my preparation and I ask that you breathe upon it to do what you will to do in this time in your presence. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's a great privilege for me to stand. Amen. I bring a word from God and it's entitled, "We Are Clean Escaped." We are clean escaped. There's a lot of stuff that is going on in the world, but God has sent me, mommy has said it to us over and over again, that God has our back. And God has given me a word to show you that he truly has your back. That you have not just managing to escape. You are, when you say something is clean, no flies, no damage, you are escaped into the glory of God in Jesus' name. So, but there's some things that we need to do to ensure. Now, as we begin to share, Satan always tries to kill the precious seed. You know, there's this confession we make. We say we are precious in the sight of the Lord. We are honorable. We're precious. And Satan is always trying to kill the precious. The Bible says the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Proverbs 6:26, but we are clean escaped. Amen. And if you look at the pattern in the word of God, first it was Moses. We know the story, but very quickly we'll just go through it. Exodus 1:22, and Bible says that Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Now he tried to get the Hebrew women to kill the boys, but the Hebrew men refused to, and God blessed and increased them. But he didn't give up. He kept trying. So any male child, they would try to destroy it. But then Moses was born. In the middle of that was when Moses was born. And when Moses was born, look at Exodus 2:5-8. Exodus 2:5-8. And the daughter of Pharaoh, let's read it together. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, it wasn't an ark, the ark of love. So she sent her maid to fetch it. Next verse. And when she opened it, she saw the child. This God in operation. She saw the child. And right at that moment, an angel just pinched Moses and said, "Behold, the babe wept." And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Next verse. And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? Next verse. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. They sought to kill Moses, but God, the Pharaoh that sought to kill Moses, God put Moses in his house and then made sure that Moses' mother was the nurse that nursed right in his house. That's the kind of God we serve. The next was Jesus, Matthew chapter 2. And there was the wise men in the east. We know the story just very quickly. It says, where is he that is born king of the Jews? That's the wise men inquiring. And said, for we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And being warned of God in a dream that he should not return to Herod. I'm jumping to verse 12. Okay? You know, that he should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Ever before Herod did anything was when God had moved. That's why we are clean escaped. Verse 16. Then Herod, verse 16, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, that was to give them time to move, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, look at this. This is the point I want to bring out. Satan, through spiritual forces, was using men to launch attack against God's precious seed. He was targeting the seed, but he didn't get the seed. The seed escaped. He missed the seed, but there was collateral damage. There were many children under 2 years who were killed. Bible says, weeping and lamentation in Ramah. Rachel weeping for her children will not be part of collateral damage in Jesus' name. That's our portion. We and our seed. But this is the plan. Now it's our turn. And this message is actually a spin-off from the word Mommy gave us. Mommy shared with us on the phone. You know, from Revelation chapter 12. Let's turn to it. Revelation chapter 12. And since that word had just been, this message just really from that word, man. You know, Revelation 12 verse 17. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is seeking yet again. He's done it through successive generations. But we have two witnesses that he has failed. And in our own case, he's going to fail in Jesus' name. We are clean. I can't hear. We are clean. Escaped. Amen. Now, how is he attacking us? He's using every means possible. He's wrath, the Bible says. He's using anger and strife to use to produce physical violence to cause premature death. If you just look around, you can see, even in America, you can see the nature of violence, gun violence. So far, 23 school shootings from January up to date, and we're just in June. Knife attacks, rape, different things. All right? He's also using self-indulgence and addiction. The one is just a progression of the other. Self-indulgence and addiction. Sleep. Food. Social media. I'm sure you know. Social media. He's stealing your time. And he's putting stuff in your mind. That mind that you need to write Christ on it, he's putting a lot of junk in it. So to you, he's harmless. He knows what he's doing. He's waging war. He's wrath. To try and take us back. Television. Football. Sex. Drugs. You know, these are big things. But it's self-indulgence. It's inability to control the flesh.
Then he's using offenses, rebellion against constituted authority, strife. Pastor shared with us beautifully last week. To, you know, because he can't get us, but those things isolate us. So he can then easily do what he wants to, but he has failed in Jesus' name. Amen. He has failed in Jesus. We're not going to allow it. But the truth is, you need to understand that it is a strategic thing he's doing. It's not just by chance. No. He's trying to control your will. He's trying to control your flesh. He's trying to control your mind so they can do all these things. And of course, he's using discouragement. Where is the promise of his coming? Men have slept, the fathers have slept, and yet the promise is yet to pass. But the Bible says that God's word to us will not be delayed. This is the season. This is the time. Amen? All right? So we see what he's doing, but we know that the God that we serve is faithful. We are clean escaped. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Let's read together. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure, that is, they beguile, they seduce, you know, through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. I say you are clean escaped from those who live in error in Jesus' name. And you're not going to go back to it. You're not going to allow anybody to seduce you or beguile you by one funny kind of message that is distorted, that preaches a crown without a cross. That's how they got them. Preaching a distortion of the truth. False doctrine. Okay. Now, before Satan is coming against us, but God has already made provision for us ahead of time. Amen. Amen. Like he did for Jesus, well before he has come, God has changed our location. In Jesus' case, it was a physical relocation. He had to relocate from Israel and move to Egypt. In our own case, it's a spiritual relocation. Let's turn our Bibles. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 12, verse 1. Amen. Let's read together. And they appeared. I can't hear you. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Stop. Now, this woman is a great wonder. I put it to you that this scripture is true at several levels. It's true like the virtuous woman of the church. It is true for individual women. A woman clothed with the sun, that is, under covering of the sun of righteousness. Amen. And the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. 12 signifies government. This is a woman in spiritual authority. If you can receive it, receive it. And I thank God for our fathers in the house. Amen. That they're going to be women. So, God just planned it that Pastor Leo should preach today about widows being spiritual. You know, Anna stood in her place. God needed a woman, and he found her faithful. I put it to you that God is calling out to women. Say, come up hither. There is room to become a great wonder. Amen. But he's speaking of a church, okay? All right. Now, let's go on next verse. Verse 2. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. This is the church. It's also a physical woman, but it's the church really here. Travailing in birth to bring forth the man child. Give us verse 5. And she brought forth, I can't hear you. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's why the dragon is fighting. And her child was what? Cut up unto God and to his throne. You are caught up in Jesus' name. What does catch up mean? Catch up is talking really about growing up into Christ in all things. That's the catching up. Coming up to where God is. God is in the third heavens. There is the atmospheric heavens. There is the heavens, the second heavens, where Satan and his principalities and powers operate. And there is a third heaven where God dwells. Now, your destiny and my destiny is to be caught up. And it's happening right now. A catching up to the third heavens. So even though you are physically on the earth, spiritually you are located in the third heavens. Amen. You are reigning in the heavens. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. Very important you understand this. This is happening now. Let's read it together. And has raised us up together. God didn't leave anybody out. Don't let your name be removed though. He said together. Together means all of us. You are there in Jesus' name. Alright? And made us sit together where? In heavenly places where? In Christ Jesus. So you can be on earth. Like Jesus said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And he was talking on the earth. Also, God wants you to be on earth. So you are not of this world. Okay? So you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are operating from the third heavens. Operating from a vantage point. So you're looking at the dragon doing all he's doing. And you're doing... You are now making sure that you can save as many people as possible. Amen? But your case is settled. Because you are clean, escaped. This is what God is doing. And it's so important. So we are caught up to the throne of God. The man-child church is the perfect leadership. Okay? Fully mature leadership. All right? And a fully submitted followership that is perfecting the love of God and growing up into Christ in all things. Ephesians 4:15. We won't turn there. And the essence of this man-child which is coming up, you can see it, is that they are for signs and wonders. Look at Isaiah 8:18. Behold! I can't hear you reading it. If your name is here, let's read together. Behold! I and the children. The I is the mature leadership and the children. Amen. Abraham and Sarah and the children. Amen. And children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for in from the Lord of hosts. We dwelleth where? In Mount Zion. That's who we are. That is where we're going. That's the reality we must be experiencing under covering of our fathers. Amen. All right, so this is the will of God. So as you cultivate the character of Christ, you escape the corruption that's in the world through lust, and you escape all Satan wants to do. Because a lot of what he wants to do is operating through the corruption. It's through the nature and the power of iniquity. That's the only way he can do it. So if you have a counter power that is greater than the power that he has, you checkmate and you subdue. And then you escape. Just like an aeroplane escapes into the air. It escapes the pull of gravity. The same way as you walk with God and perfect the love and the character of Christ under covering, you escape into the will of God. Amen. This is the purpose of God for our lives. Amen. Why? Now, why does Satan do this? Why? Because he knows his time is short. He has but a very short time. So he's trying to delay and prolong, but he has failed in Jesus' name. You see, brethren, Satan knows who we are. This is why it's important for us to know who we are. I don't know whether you know who you are. You are the workmanship of God. God's workmanship. You are a specially crafted assault weapon that God is preparing for this end time. And Satan knows it. So he's trying to delay or abort the plan. Because your growth signifies, every day you grow, signifies his time is short. And short, we hasten the time. So his time is short. So he's trying to do all he can. Throws the kids. Brethren, pastor preached it one Bible study, I think Bible study last week. Those thoughts that come to your mind, they're not your thoughts. Those feelings are not your feelings. And not. And he says the feeling, and then gives you the thought, and tells the feeling is your feeling. It's a lie. He's the father of lies. How can you ask? Don't believe those things. Reject those things. Reject the feeling. Reject the thought. Align your will with the truth of the word of God. Stand your ground. This is the will of God. Amen. So he knows that we are designed to destroy all of his works. The work of sin, by the life of God. Every time you see people and you give life to them, you are destroying his works. Amen. The work of sickness, by health. Amen. We lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The work of ignorance, by wisdom and revelation from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The work of poverty, by astounding wealth and generosity. Because you need both. You can have wealth and sit on it. But that's not the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is to have wealth and generosity. Flows together. Amen. That's the pattern that we have seen through our fathers. Amen. Wealth and generosity. And you know, you don't have to have so much. It's the with little you have. Money kosi kosi. Only sunny down. I don't have enough. Oh, I wish I had more. With the little that you have, what are you doing? This is the key. That's the spirit of Christ. Remember, this stuff is about the spirit that you cultivate. You have to cultivate it deliberately. So don't let the devil tell you, but you don't have enough now. He doesn't want you to exercise yourself in that thing because he knows the more you exercise, the shorter the time that he has. It's not about the money. It's about the glory. Amen. Money is the consequence of glory. It's the glory. So we keep our eyes on the glory. We escape into the glory of God. Amen. Okay. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 82 verse 6, God needs us to say it and to be saying it to yourself. 82 verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, I have said. Who's talking here? God. Psalmist is God is speaking to the psalmist. Say, I have said. Ye are gods. And all of you. Again, he didn't leave anybody out. Why are you removing your name? Why are you removing your name? Your name was included from the beginning. He said that I have said ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. Grown up children. Not babies. Grown up children. Look at Isaiah 61 verses 6 to 7. You need to know who, this is who you are. This is who you are. You know, the Bible says, as he is, so are we. So you can have that picture now. You know, this is who I am. I accept it. And you walk and grow into it. Let's read together. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. And you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Next verse, verse 7. For your shame you shall have, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, what land is that? The land of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. That land, they shall possess the double. An everlasting joy shall be unto them. This is who we are. This is who we are, brother. So don't see yourself. I'm just no. Those thoughts are designed to slow us down. Amen. You need to start having the mind of who we are in Christ. In Christ, because in Christ we're different. Okay. Another reason is that we enforce the dominion, this victory that God has given us. We enforce it until we go home. We're not going home as a church that is beaten black and blue. We're not managing until the rapture comes. We are reigning triumphantly until the rapture comes. Bible talks about without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's the kind of church Jesus is coming for. Reigning triumphant. You know, and we will stay there and rule over Satan. You know, God will allow him to come against us when he sees that we're ready. And each time he comes, God will use it to strengthen us and then help us defeat Satan. So even when he comes against you, you come out stronger. If he left you alone, you are growing stronger. Either way, heads or tail, he's losing. Both ways, Satan is losing. If he comes against you, he's going to lose because they're going to set him back. Bible says, had he known, they would not have crucified Lord. No, so when they come against you, you know, I know you're going through, but God is using it to perfect us. He's using it to, you know, as a legal basis to incarcerate Satan forever. And then he brings you out stronger. His threefold purpose. Working out his will. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians, I beg your pardon. 2:7, quickly. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Satan can't take you out of the way. It's God that's going to take us out of the way after the job is done. So until then, guess what? We let. Anywhere we are, iniquity has to stop. That's the will of God. That's the purpose of God. We reign, dominate sin. We triumph over sin by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And number three, once the glory manifests, that same glory again becomes our defense. Ah, brethren, give God a clap offering. It's a win-win. You know, it's a win-win. Win-win-win-win situation. It's winning in so many ways. Look at Isaiah chapter 4. Verse 5. So God is preserving us because we are caught up onto his throne. And then when the glory manifests, that same glory protects. Let's read it together. Verse 5. And the Lord will create, that's what he's doing right now, upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon our assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And upon all, again, nobody excluded. See how God is so good? Loves us with an everlasting love. Has our back. Already knows what you need way ahead of time. And has made the provision. Upon all, the glory shall be a defense. Satan will not be able to get you. Amen. Remember Jesus, when they took him to the brow of the hill, they thought they were just taking an ordinary man. And they took him, and all of a sudden, he just turned it on. He turned it on, and everybody just fell by the wayside. And he turned around and walked right through. What happened? There was a force field. Invisible force field. But then there's a force field of life. Key your faith into it. There's a force field of life. Everywhere, you know, of course, that means that you have to go where God asks you to go. That means that you have to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. But believe me, there's a force field. It's available. It's right there. And that force field protects. So when you hear, oh, Bible says 1,000 are fallen at our side, 10,000 at our right hand. Bible says, he shall not come near you. He's saying that because he knows there's a force field available. Amen. To keep us. So how? How then do we do this? Number one is to recognize and submit to spiritual father ministries. It's very important that we understand that your natural parentage and your spiritual parentage are not the same. Sometimes in some people it's the same, but they're very few. But if you look at history, for example, Elkanah was Samuel's father, but Eli was Samuel's spiritual father. Elkanah was his physical father. Elkanah couldn't take Samuel into his destiny. It was Eli, the appointed father of that time. Forget about his failings. He still succeeded in putting him into this place. In spite of his failings, it was Eli that put someone into his destiny. Brethren, spiritual parents are key to fulfilling destiny. Your destiny is not becoming a doctor and working in Mayo Clinic in America. And that's good and all that, but that's not your destiny. Pastor always tells us, your destiny is not to become an architect. It's not to become a businessman. Your destiny is to become like Christ. And then to use that to become a businessman or whatever else you need to do. This is the key. So spiritual family is very important that you recognize that there's spiritual fathers, you know. So you can be in a particular church, but you must recognize spiritual fathers that God has set. Bible says God has set some. Not many. Bible says you have not many fathers. You have 1,000 instructors. Look at the ratio. 1,000 instructors to one father. Tells you that the fathers are captains over thousands. Not 1,000 flock, 1,000 instructors. That's what he said. 1,000 instructors to one father. Because it takes time to make a father. Thank God for our fathers. Now let's give God a super hand. Thank you, mommy. Thank God, Pastor. Dedication, consistency over time. So how do you recognize them? Well, I mean, it's very important that you understand that, you know, when you recognize who fathers are, how do you know who fathers are? Well, the first thing is the fruit of good treasure. Luke 6:45. I'm not going to stay long here. Just move it ahead quickly. Deep revelation knowledge that comes out of the word of God. That makes you wonder, are we using the same Bible? Or is there another translation that I don't have? All right. Where did they bring that one out of? Or did Satan done that? Tomani, did it resonate with your spirit? As father, few father. Then Christ's character demonstrated consistently. 2 Corinthians 12:12. In much patience. These are the signs of an apostle. And the men that call themselves apostles, that don't even know the meaning of the word. But let's leave that. Okay? Now, the key here is, look at the signs of an apostle. In much patience. Patience. That is, they demonstrate the character of Christ consistently. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness in different situations. Then, the fruit of transformed lives. Including your own. When you see yourself transform, it's the proof that you're under a father ministry. It is a father ministry, you know, it is a father ministry that takes a Moabites and translates a Moabites and plugs a Moabites into the genealogy of Christ. That is a father ministry. There's no way you can get it just by two or going from church to church. No way. That to take that place where God has allotted for you. That's very important. That's what we're looking for. So when your life is transformed and you see the fruit of the Spirit of Christ in your character, like John Mark, like Onesimus. Onesimus used to steal. But when he came under Paul, everything changed. Then Paul sent him back. He's instructed that when he was under Philemon, he was stealing. Philemon is not a father. He's not a father. No, not to that degree. The fruit cannot be gainsaid. And by that fruit, you will know them. So, but when he left and went to Paul, God turned it around. That's what God does. He takes the base things. And out of those base things, he makes glorious things. Brethren, God is taken to a place of glory. Amen. So don't look at yourself and say, oh, see us. No. Look at what God has said about us. This is the key. Amen. All right. Okay. And of course, under their covering, God is able to protect, nourish, and give us the wisdom to cultivate and develop the character of Christ. Look at Isaiah 32, verse 1. So submission to father, recognizing and submitting to the father ministries is key. Isaiah 32. Okay, give it to me in the Amplified, please. Thank you. Let's read together. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Next verse. And each one of them, it's talking about kings. Can a man have authority like that? Yes. That's why God is telling you that each one of them shall be like a hiding place from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shade of a great rock in a weary land, to those who turn to them. This is the key, brethren. You need to turn in your heart towards the fathers. Bible says, ye that hearken, ye that follow after righteousness. He says, no, I have called Abraham and Sarah alone. I bless them. I increase them. And the result of it is that you will comfort Zion. I don't want to waste time, but that's Isaiah 51. You know, then you see the consistency of the word. But you need to turn. The way Moses turned to the burning bush. No, until Moses turned, God didn't talk to him. It's instructive. God didn't call out to him from the burning bush. It was when he turned, then God spoke and said, this ground you stand on is holy ground. Until you turn to fathers in your heart, when you are not faithful in another man's, God will not give you your own. You will not hear God. You will say he's God, but you will not. Bible says wisdom is justified of all her children. This plus or minus, this blessing that comes and adds sorrow, that's not God. The blessing of God makes rich, spiritually and physically. If it brings you wealth physically or adds to you physically, but is taken away spiritually, check it. It's not God. Because God has said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So this is so you can tell if you're under a father ministry. You can tell. It's not so much as having prosperity. It's having the prosperity of your soul with everything else that you have. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay? All right. Okay? So God will have mercy on us. So you can see, go back to Isaiah 32. You can see the protection. You can see the nourishment. And then you can see the transformation. Because that's what that does. It transforms and causes the character of us to come forth. Look at Psalm 36 verse 9. Again, give that to me in the Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 36 verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. There's a translation of the Bible. Give it to me in Message Bible. Message Bible. I think it's Message Bible. Yes. You are a fountain of cascading light. And you open our eyes to light. You know what fathers are? You know what a cascade is? A cascade is like a waterfall. When the waterfall is going to, when you get to waterfall, you know, it goes down like a waterfall. But when it goes down, and then that's what they call a cascade. There is like a break and an increase, a break and an increase, a break and an increase. You know what fathers are? They are a fountain of cascading light. So when you get light under them, you yourself now give out light. Amen. So there is a multiplier effect. And another definition of cascade talks about the fact that there is a succession. No, it's like you pass something across. You like a cascade. It's a generational thing, brethren. Isaiah 59:21. Give it to me. This light, Bible says, the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians. Okay. I ask you to give me a scripture. What was the scripture I asked you to give? Okay. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, cascade, or nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from this time henceforth and forever. So God, multiply effects into your inheritance. So guess what? Our generations are secure. Our children are secure in Jesus' name. The end is secure because it's a cascade of light under the right leadership. Under the right leadership. This is key. Very important. Okay. All right. So, next. That's very important that we understand that. Okay. Then, it's under our fathers that we partake of the borrowed anointing. Of course, initially when we're growing, we're princes. So, we partake of the borrowed anointing. And then we then grow over time to inherit our own. But that's important. Remember, the Bible says that no, our fathers are our glory. Bible says no, the glory of children are their fathers. So it is in your interest for our fathers to manifest the glory. Amen. Because our fathers are our glory. Look at this scripture. Look at Proverbs 17 verse 6. Children's children. I can't hear you. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. Not natural, spiritual. Very important. Okay. Next thing that we need to have. So, talking about recognizing father ministries, submitting to them, turning to them in your heart, and obeying them and staying under them so you can become who God wants you to be. Two, integrity of heart is key in this day. Integrity of heart, it must be increasing. The integrity of our hearts. The integrity really, it's summed up beautifully in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where Jesus Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Those two make up integrity, meekness and lowliness. What is meekness? Meekness is your openness to receive the truth. It's very key. Now, the truth can be bitter. I don't know how many people have experienced that. Truth can be bitter. But the willingness to receive the truth is honesty. And the practice or acting upon the truth is humility. Okay? Look at Proverbs 11. In this day, integrity is key to be able to plug in into God. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, shall find rest unto your souls. Amen? We look at it from another scripture. Proverbs 11. Verses 3 to 4 and then verse 6. Proverbs 11. Let's read it together. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Next verse. So you want to have integrity and cultivate it. Because nobody is born with it. We all have to cultivate it. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. When the day of wrath, the dragon is wrath. When a day of wrath, but righteousness of the heart delivereth from death. Verse 6. The righteousness of the upright shall what? Deliver them from making a mistake, from being caught unawares, from Satan coming through your blind side. It's the righteousness I will deliver you. But transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. See, it's very important. Our meekness, it must be increasing. So we renounce hidden things of dishonesty in the light of the truth that we receive. So anytime we receive truth and we receive light, it is not just to be excited by it or to take note of it. It is to use it as a mirror to see how you are in the light of the truth of the word. Amen. It's very important. You know, Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, you know, talks about the fact that, you know, we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. You know, and this thing is growth. You exercise yourself more and more in truth and away from deception and that craftiness. That's the word. Cunning craftiness. Whereby the line which is say, I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in. No, you are sharp. You know you are wrong, but you argue. And you give a legitimate reason. And you win the argument with man. But with God in the spirit, you just lost. Dishonesty. Just lost. Just took some steps back. Confessing your sin is not going to take you back to where you were. You're going to have to walk your way back. It's not worth it. It's better to be smaller than you think you are in the eyes of people and be right with God. It is better to fall into the hand of the living God than to fall in the hand of a man. The Bible says, vain is the help of princes. It's not going to work. So we need to progressively work on this at this time because it's key. Integrity, maintain integrity. You know, say something Try as much as possible to do it. If there's a problem that you cannot do it, recourse back to your head. I'm not able to do this. I'm not sure that this is going to be able to be. It's important. No, don't do it and then you cover it. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. So we're talking about that. So with the integrity of heart, our light shines brighter and brighter. And that's key because it's in light. No, and we keep walking in light and we keep seeing clearer. Amen. Number three, we tithe our time so that every day we can practice travailing prayer. Notice what the woman was doing. The woman in Revelation 12, she was travailing. It is travail that takes you up. And it's not alone, but with all the other things that you need. Without travail, you can't form Christ. Galatians 4:19, let's look at that. You can't form Christ. And that's how you are caught up. Amen. Amen. All right, Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. So he did it first time to get them born again. So they were born because you travail to give birth, so you're born. Then you travail to do the second one. Until Christ be formed. Christ is formed. So, you know, the what forms the Christ in you is the travail you make, backed by the travail that oversight is making for us. Amen. This is very important that we understand that. Okay? And when Christ is formed in your will, in your mind and emotions, then all those things that Satan is trying to do, they don't work. Anything he brings against your will, you know, you just submit it. Anything he brings against your mind, you cast it down. Anything brings you against your emotions, you forgive, you know, you ask for life, you pray in the spirit, and you overcome it. So you become unresponsive to the loss. Amen. Brethren, you are quiet. And that's your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We become unresponsive because there's more Christ. You know, the life of God no anesthetizes the flesh. And the flesh is dead to the loss. So no matter how much Satan is pressing the remote control, the TV is off. Does remote control work when the TV is off? The TV is off. We remove it from the plug. And then you are pressing the remote. You are wasting your... Tell Satan is wasting his time. But you know, you travail and kill it. Amen. All right. Then you listen to apostolic and prophetic teaching, like the ones we're fed with in this house, that is able to build us up and give us that inheritance among those that are sanctified. Okay? And of course, our needs are met as our souls prosper. So don't worry. Initially, it may seem as if, but this is the better way. Remember, God is a good God. He won't take you by the long way. He'll take you by the shortcuts. God is taken by the shorter route. Any route that looks shorter is a longer route. Yes, it's a long... Isn't it true? It's a longer... Because God loves us. The route of growth is the shorter route. Because on the way, you prosper as your soul prospers. And then when you get into the glory of God, you get everything pressed down, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, restored. Double. Whereas the other one will put you in bondage. And then the person that gave you can come and take it at any time. What's the point? More so, there are some things that money cannot answer. Riches don't profit in the day of wrath. So, brethren, think about it clearly. You know, it's not worth it. This is the shortcut into our destiny. Listen to apostolic and prophetic teaching to build you up. Act on it. And cease to hear strange doctrine. The words that make us err from the words of knowledge. When you hear them, they do something to you. Proverbs 23. They do something to us. Not be our portion in Jesus' name. Verses 6 to 8. Verse 6. Thank you. Eat thou not. Let's say it together. Eat thou not the bread of him that had an evil eye. That is, the eye is evil. Your eye should be single. When your eye is not single, your eye is evil. So it's covetousness. That's either God or mammon. None of this, there's no middle ground. So when he says evil eye, talking about somebody who is worshipping mammon, that is his priority. Everything turns back to money, turns back to self. Okay? Says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Careful what you listen to. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. They look very pretty. You get this now. And you come, those of you that have 1 million, come up. Those of you that have 500,000, stay down. Those of you that don't have any money, God will have mercy on you. That's evil eye. Evil eye. Alright, so it's tying, because it's merchandising the gospel. It's tying money to the blessing of God. What happened to freely have you received? Jesus said that. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. His heart is not with you. He's telling you and inviting you and telling you, come and company with us. But he's not going to do you good in your latter end. Next verse. The morsel which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. The truth that you have ingested before, that you have accepted before, and that you have been practicing before. When you eat on the wrong message and wrong idea, offense and all those things, you know what? That's what happened to John the Baptist now. He vomited. He vomited all the truth that he knew. Eh? And then was asking, are you the one that is to come? Or shall we look for another? This was the person you yourself prophesied. So don't tell me it can't happen to you. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Alright? So you must be careful what we listen to. Amen? Of course, number three, watch and pray. These things I'm saying, you need to create time for them. Set time. So that, you know, you have a spiritual core that your physical life operates around. Amen. Of course, it's flexible because then but you must have a spiritual core. You must set time for prayer. You must set time for the word. It's very important. You must set time for it. Don't let circumstances push you up and down, family push you up and down. Set it. Even if you have to do it in the middle of the night when the family is sleeping. Set it. Because that's how you go up. Amen. Watch and pray therefore. Watch ye therefore and pray some of the time. Always. Now, of course, we know that you may be accounted worthy to what? Cleanly. Clean. All these things shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man triumphant. Victorious. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. So, of course, we know that if you look at 2 Samuel 6:13, we're not going to turn there. Just give it to me in Mark 13:35. I think that'll just do it. At least four times. But the Bible tells us, Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even one, or at midnight, two, or at cockcrowing, three, or in the morning, four. So at least four times a day. But God, Pastor has taught us very well, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and in every temptation. So from 6 hours, move to hourly. Set your alarm for hourly. So hourly, you acknowledge God. Even if you cannot pray verbally, in your mind, you release a spiritual force. Father, I confess my sins and not have mercy on me in this regard. In Jesus' name, I have life. You release that force and it goes, operates in your mind, operates in the air around you. The next hour again, you are busy, but you are praying. Every hour. So when things are coming or temptation is coming, the time is coming, because you are staying close to God, God will tell you, watch out for that. You need to be careful about that. And then you can sidestep it. Bible says the prudent foreseeth the evil and does what? Hideth himself. Amen. This is the will of God. Okay. And then number four is practice these instructions consistently and promptly. That is, we do it. We now do. The doing there is the practice of divine love. Okay? The Bible, look at James 1:22 as we close. James 1:22. Amen. Thank you. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The deception there is that because I know it, I'm doing it. It's a deception. It's not true. You have to do it. When you do it, you know you are doing it. You get more light from doing it. You get joy unspeakable from doing it. You know, so you know you're doing it, but it's easy to think you're doing it, you know, and then you're not doing it. So God will help us to do it. And when you don't do it for one reason or the other, maybe we, because we all fall, we make mistakes. No, there are omissions, there are commissions. You know, Bible says, whatsoever not of faith is sin. But we watch out for those things. So you're making sure that you're always in faith, aligning your will with the will of God. You know, always in faith. You know, always making sure that, anything you know to do that is good, you don't withhold it. You know, you quickly do it. You know, so as you do those things, you begin to narrow down and narrow down and narrow down. The sin nature doesn't have room to operate anymore. And you just keep walking in love and walking. And as you do it, you are cleansing yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Kunle. That was really, really a great word from the throne room. Real present truth. I just want to add one or two things to that thing that you said. And Pastor has constantly been saying it. And I had to say, let me quickly look into the scripture. Forget not the assembling of ourselves together. Much the more so as we see the day approaching. And I said to myself, why would that thing be so important? It's because in this day of technology. Now it just dawned on me that it's because in this day of technology, isolation can so easily be a substitution. Isolation, matokoshete, listen to me. Isolation can so easily be a substitution. And you can see the effect. They have more mental issues. They have more mental issues now. Because isolation is resulting in a lot of mental issues. Because there's no fellowship. So if you look at Hebrews 10:25, it's becoming so real. Now you don't even have to go to church. Because you can stream online and see everything that is going on in your own little comfort. So it's so comfortable that you don't even need to go again. Because after all, you are receiving all the messages. Is that so? Now let's look at that. Let's look at it. Before that scripture about not forgetting ourselves, he says, so that we can provoke one another unto good works. I don't know whether computer has been designed to provoke you to good works. I have not seen computer that will provoke you to good works.
Yes, 10:24.
And let us consider one another. And let us consider one another. One another. to provoke unto love and to good works. Next verse. Next verse after that. Not forsaking. See, that is what comes before it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Brethren, isolation. And you know what happens when the cloud of glory is moving? What happened to the stranglers that are isolated? They are easily picked up by Amalek. The flesh will easily pick up. That's why provoke one another. It is easy for the flesh to pick you up. Because you are on your own. Because you are not being provoked onto good works by other people that you can talk and commune with. Tell people. You and I need to fellowship. And that's why God put. You see, we quote, for Pastor says it, forget not assembling ourselves together. And you know, people, we always say, but you know, it is for our own. He says, much the more so. And brethren, now, if you don't want to go to church, if you really don't want to go to church, you can give yourself the excuse, I don't really need to go. After all that Pastor Luby is preaching and all the worship, everything is on live stream. I can see everything. Can you really see everything? What about that scripture that is on top? Has your computer become one another now? How can this computer provoke you unto good works and love? How can it? So the devil is fixing. And that is the reason why they had everything. Do you know, now I was watching it on CNN. The rates of suicide has jumped up. Before, it used to be people who didn't know what they had. Now, celebrities are being touched. Isolation. Forget not. Tell people. You know, it is our own interest. Enlightened interest. To come to the fellowship of believers. Now, you know, interestingly, Pastor Kule, you were not here yesterday. But I was telling them that something is happening. And to bring about the glory, there must be an emphasis on I and the children. In fact, when I was shaking, because I knew you were not there. I and the children. That the next step of that glory, that is what is delaying the glory. Because there must be maturity of the I and the children. Then the glory will ascend. I said, remember in the day of Pentecost, they were one in one accord. And they were also together. They were said, he said, tarry ye here. They were together in one accord. Not forsaking. They are, those that forsake that were not there. If you were sitting in your house, you didn't get it. Even though you were watching the program online, because you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you did not obey the most important instruction, much the more so as you see the day approaching. Brethren, this is a great truth. Resolution of depression that's creeping into the body and in the church is to connect back to the source and not isolate ourselves. And isolate yourself. Connect. The stranglers get easily taken off. And that's what the devil is because his time is short. So he's giving us everything. And the penny playing the pipe. And if you see, it was the advent of social media that amplified. Let me use the word that amplifies suicides. Because everything you want to do, you know how to do in it's there. You just need to Google it. If you want to die by rope, the shortest time, Google it, you will see it there. How to commit suicide will be there. It's all online. Brethren, let us not forget this beautiful injunction in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you, Mumin. Brethren, let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. God has spoken to us. Let's repent of unnecessarily isolating yourself. Not provoking others to love and unto good works. Connection with spiritual fathers, the source is Jesus, but through them, so we can grow maximally. Obedience to instruction, tithing your time, making sure you give time to the Spirit, prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Resolution to mental issues is winning the mind game. Resolution to mental health. Somebody write it down. Because that thing just, you know, God brought it to me. Resolution to mental issues is winning the mind game. How can you and I win the mind game? Have the mind of Christ. And God began to give me examples. Resolution to depression is winning the mind game. When depression wants to come over you, overshadow me, we say, no, God has not given me the spirit of fear. He's not giving me the spirit of fear. He's not giving me the spirit of depression. It's giving a spirit of power, of love, and of a son that's winning. You begin to pull that out and begin to speak positively into your soul. And it is who wins that battle in the mind that dominates that mind, and the mind dominates that body. So resolution of mental issues is winning the mind game. I have the mind of Christ. Let this mind, which was also in Christ. I have a sound mind. When you come, it's not young people that are the people you think are insecure. Now even celebrities who are insecure. When the devil comes to you and say that, hey, look at you, there's nothing to write about your life. Say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Within the mind game. Turn the gates to the, turn the battle back to the gates, and the gates to the entrance there. Turn the back, yes! That's the entrance. That's the entrance to everything. It's in the mind. That's the gate. Take the battle back. It's the person that wins. And I want to tell you this day, it needs that reconnection back. It needs, because in ourselves we cannot do it. But with him, and by him, who holds everything by the power of his word. We can and will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. it's resolution to mental issues. Thank you. Is winning the mind game, because I have the mind of Christ. Have you noticed it? Sometimes, when the devil wants to make you sick, he starts just making, I'm feeling somehow. I'm feeling, who shot? Win the mind game. Because sometimes when I discover this, I find out that after a while, when I begin to speak positively, I discover there's a single koto shame. No. Win the mind game. Sorry.
Wow. Mommy has preached it properly. Now you get it. Mom was just now you've gotten it. Win the mind game, mommy. We need to win the mind game. Amen. Yes. Fight is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. And if you win in the mind, you win everywhere. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But then let's just talk to God. Accept those words as an act of your will. I have the mind of Christ. I have it. And I keep developing it and increasing in it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Casting down imaginations. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, please come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the risen Lord.
Spirit of God,
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord,
come and make
your presence known. Reveal the glory of the risen. Now the weight,
now the weight of your glory,
now the life,
now the life of your.
Amen. Mommy asked me to tell us that we should read from Hebrews 10:24 right up until the end. As you read from 24 through 25, towards the end, you will see it says, cast not away our confidence, which has great recompense. That's verse 35. Verse 35 down there. But it's a continuous discourse. It is with winning the mind game. When we win it in our mind and we have the mind of Christ, our faith is strong. We will not cast away our confidence. Let's put our hands on our foreheads. Second hand up to God. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your mercies upon us today. Thank you for your word that has come to us under the covering of our fathers. Father, I choose from today to fight the battle in the mind, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I win the battle in my mind. So I have the mind of Christ and I walk in divine love. I provoke my brethren unto good works. I do not forsake the assembling of myself in church on a regular basis, Sundays, weekdays, and so I will not cast away my confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Thank you, Father, because I will not turn back. Your soul will find pleasure as I stand, having done all to stand, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Jasebam de veriko komba, rapakako jeke koko mika kaka, roba baba kante besero, rene de be pakankoa, romba fi, Hollande, redia, rapakao, korean, rene de be, mene de be pankombi, owan tangere, rene de be ba, owan sanson bea toa, ave, bene de ma, rene de maniwa, rene de be awa, jeworia, mane de be, bom bom bom, wane de bom bom, ashom basa, woba kase jekano baba rekakaga beleleve wadigano beleleve kwa kerena belelebea barea jele beria bakan kan be baya roba kasaka sasa renemambe ba reke ko bakasa tumania renelebe baba 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 meka baka ko baba baba rena babe kakasele la baria renelebe ni ana mayana belela mayana ma jeffrey kerena ma. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Father, we're grateful. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise for this present truth word that has come. Thank you for a transformation. Thank you for an uplifting. Thank you for new realms in the spirit that will ascend unto. Thank you for your word that now girds our minds and hearts, Lord God, as we enter into this season of the manifestation of your glory. We're none of those who look back or turn back unto perdition. We believe unto the saving of our souls in this house. We say thank you. Let's join hands. As we're under the covering of our fathers, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lifts up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail, but above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us the fullness of his salvation, even the perfection and fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in Jesus' name. And so the Lord imparts upon us the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of Daniel, of Elisha, of David, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. The grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, you say, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together, and you win the game of the mind. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Resolution of mental issues starts with the winning of the mind game. Amen.